Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the things Kyrie said to me was he did not give me an example of a miss. But what he did tell me, and you'll remember this, Brian, was after a game in which he did not perform and the team did not perform the way he wanted, it was fan appreciation night. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And he did not come out after the game. And he has deep regrets about that, Brian. But he talked to me afterwards and said, I regret not going back out there. I did the wrong thing. The part of Kyrie that I've gotten to know and gotten to see that I don't know that everybody does is there is regret. There is a person who's introspective enough that when time passes and he looks back on mistakes that he's made, he has the capacity and the willingness to say, I wish I could have done that differently.
That's Jackie Mack, and it's an interesting point. So, and the good news is, and I'm not sure Celtics fans are looking at this as good news. I am, because I think you need him back with this team based on the alternative, is that you've got plenty of time. So the emotions of everything that happened with this last series are all calmed down. And that may be your point that you were making, Christian, because it took you a long time to make
No.
Might
no,
be
it
your
took,
point.
It took you a long time to just answer it. Hold on. Stop. I'm done with this, okay? I'm done with your little flip-floppy fence
I'm
riding.
I'm not flip-flopping at all.
Never answer a freaking question.
I'm not
question.
Flip-flopping at all.
Okay, it's real simple.
I am
simple.
Answering every question.
No, you don't answer any questions.
Answer
no,
all.
You hide from it. If you feel like you're going to piss somebody off, you run away from it because you're afraid of being people being
apparently
critical.
Apparently, I just pissed you off, so apparently
like
I'm not doing a good job
tension.
With it.
You don't like the tension. You're afraid.
But he's got plenty of time to figure this all out. And
oh, he can let the emotions end.
Yeah,
now he's all excited to watch this next series, so let's not, don't make him make a decision now because he's really excited about watching this next Milwaukee series.
So you calm down when
yeah, let him
this?
Until the finals are over, then maybe he can regroup and see where he is mentally. My question is, if he comes back here, is he happy with his staff?
You mean the
when I said all
staff?
The issues go away, all the young kids go, don't worry, Kyrie, Anthony Davis is coming, and this kid will leave and that kid will leave and you'll have some more veterans on your team and maybe we'll throw you a bone and get somebody coming off the bench. Are you happy? Or does he sit there and say, okay, you're going to add someone to the staff? Or is it going to be a bunch of college kids running around, coaches running around?
My guess is that Danny will probably try to find, and there's an opening right now. So Danny will probably try to find an opening to bring in an ex-player. I mean, they had Walter McCarty there, and he left, right? So you get somebody, because players like that. They like a guy who's played the game, who understands after a rough road game, you're on the plane, that ex-player comes huddles next to you and says, I get it. I understand it. I used to go through
this. But I laugh, because you hear Kendrick Perkins' name an awful lot, right?
Oh, I'm not sure I want him.
All he's done is destroyed Kyrie for the last, month.
Yeah, why would you want him?
But I'm just saying, they wouldn't bring him in to help, be like that kind of guy, and as a coach that can, like a Walter McCarty type to help work with the players. I mean, he's down on Kyrie, not a leader, proven he can't be Batman. I saw another quote. He was talking to Adam Kaufman in the Celtics Beat podcast. He's like, at the end of the day, he's like, I would take the same team, and I guarantee they'll still finish fourth in East next year. It's not like Kyrie delivered something spectacular in the playoffs.
He just sounds confused, and he sounds like a guy that don't want to be in Boston. At the end of the day, if you don't want to be there, then don't force him to be there. I mean,
he's just, I feel like the last month, he's gotten all over Kyrie's leadership.
Everybody
he can't
has,
be the
though.
Guy.
But they're not talking about him,
has.
Are they? They're
no,
not talking about him.
He's a good name. Yeah, a guy like Kendrick Perkins. Put him on the staff.
The angry Celtic fans, and there aren't that many of them, but there are a few, and he sounds like that. If you're Danny Ainge, you're listening to this and saying, I can't bring this guy in. He's too emotional.
Pride is way bigger than Kyrie Irving.
Plus, what will happen. The first day he's here, one of the beat writers are going to go up to him and say, okay, now that you're here, how are you going to get along with Kyrie now that you've ripped him, the last 10 times you've talked about him? He's a former Celtic player who still wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's pissed off that they didn't advance. And that's what he's doing. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Bruins and Celtics on the board right now. We'll get to the Red Sox as well, because apparently they came to life this weekend. John is in Connecticut. Hello, John.
Yes, I have a question about the draft lottery. Won't it be more teams included this year?
Hold on one second, John. Is this Fourier with a prank call in the other room?
You sure you're from Connecticut?
Sounds Jim? Like the guy from Family Guy.
You from down south?
No, I'm not from Connecticut. I live born and raised in Georgia.
Oh, there you go.
John, I hear the visiting my sister.
I hear the Georgia accent.
Good, good. Good. There you go.
Welcome up north.
Didn't sound Connecticut. Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay, ain't it more teams included in the lottery this year?
No.
I mean, I don't mean the actual lottery, but I mean, like, they used to go to break with three teams, you know, and one of the three teams was going to wind up with the number one picks. Won't it be four or five teams this year?
It's four teams, and each team has, what, a 15% chance or something like that? They all have
the percentage is
the same percentage, right. Yeah. So the years number
what
one.
What I'm saying is, instead of the Celtics finishing in the top three, couldn't they finish with the fourth pick this year?
No, the only way the Celtics, Celtics have 20 and 22 that's locked in. Memphis, if it is a top eight pick, they do not get it. Memphis will hold on to it. It'll move to next year. And the Sacramento pick is the one that you're probably talking about. It's set right now at 14, but if the ping pong balls fall in the right place, it can't be number one, but it can be two, three, or four.
And Memphis is important. You want that right. to be top eight.
No question.
So you don't get it. You want to push that one down the
yeah,
road.
Yeah, you don't want that. John is in Charlestown. Hello, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, what's up? From Charlestown.
Well, first of all, it's quite an honor to be talking on the greatest sports radio show in the country.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to make a point. I've heard enough about questioning the Bruins' integrity or the caliber of them should they win the Stanley Cup, which they will. I'm quite confident in that. And I got to tell you something. They could have won last night's game with their third and fourth line.
They did.
And rotating, essentially, and just the defense could have beat them. As it was, they scored 4 points, right?
That was an ugly game last night, yes, for Carolina, I would say.
It was horrible. And, you know, and lastly, the Bruins just came off of defeating two of the better teams that if the Bruins weren't in it, they would have been in the finals. Between the two of them, and probably the second best goaltender in the country, which is Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm. So,
for those people that question whether should the Bruins go on and win the Stanley Cup, as I said, which they will, guess what? They should be aficionados to the game of bowling.
There you go. You tell them, John.
Boston, yeah. The asterisk thing is
it's no asterisk.
It's kind of stupid. No. You play who you've got to play.
You can't deny the path. It opened up a little bit, obviously, with Tampa being bounced. Do you think? You know, Columbus, and thank you very much, right? But that opened it up for you nicely.
Suppose they go on
but it doesn't take away from what they're about to do.
Suppose they go on to lose it. Let's say they get to the finals and they lose in the finals. You're going to hear just the opposite. This was a golden opportunity, right?
Oh, no, it is. Them,
right, and they blew it.
Oh, it is. They blew it. There's no question about it.
They have to win
but,
right
I mean,
now.
You know, watch what the Cup looks like and see how those games go. And, you know, hell, you might just run into it. I mean, what if Columbus kept it up? And Bobrovsky just continued to shut you out for another game or two. And you're just like, what the hell are you going to do there? So you got to watch how that thing folds and see if San Jose is there. And, you know, if you lose in six, if you lose in seven, watch how it happens first. But, yeah, you're not going to deny the fact it's a golden opportunity with this core. Once Tampa went down, you need to take advantage of it.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we all think right now they're going to win this thing. But if they don't win it, you wait till you hear the negativity.
Oh, they'll be disappointed.
Right.
It should be.
The expectation now is, the expectation when we started the playoffs was get to the second round. You lose in the second round, we get it, right? Now, if you don't win the Cup, there's going to be hell to pay. And by the way, Tara Sullivan will have to rewrite that column.
Why I was wrong about Bruce Cassidy.
Exactly. Dave is in Connecticut. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, Dave?
What's up?
So, I want to talk about Kyrie and his ugly situation. I think one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to stay here because he wants his own team and he's going to hope that we do get Anthony Davis and whatever. But I get a feeling that he really wants to go to Milwaukee and play with Giannis.
Ooh.
I mean, he just, the way he talks about that team after they destroyed us, he seems to have some kind of liking for them. And I just get the feeling, and I don't have a whole lot of logic behind it. It's just, it's a hunch.
I think that was his attempt
to play with Giannis.
I think that was his attempt at humility. I honestly do. I feel like his wires are so crossed. I don't think he, I think he was so because I don't think that's it, first of all. I don't think that was a, hey, let me send a sign to Giannis and maybe he'll invite me to be part of his team. No.
I don't think that was the case, but I just think he's got an affection for it. I think he likes the way he plays.
Yeah, I think that whole thing afterwards was his way of sort of sitting there saying, it wasn't my fault, that's a better team. And I'm really looking forward to watching this team. Because
I'm looking forward to seeing them going to the Eastern Conference Finals and playing their next opponent.
Because that's how good that team is. Don't rip me for not beating this team. Yep. That team is a good team.
He's rooting for them to win the whole thing because then he can come back to it and say, see, I told you Milwaukee was good. It wasn't us. It was Milwaukee's
good.
Dave, it's going to be very difficult to try to get him to Milwaukee. Not because they don't want him, but it's very difficult for them to figure in. They don't have the money to be able to do it. And they've got to sign other players.
Yeah, that's what I wasn't sure about.
No, it's a very difficult situation.
Those two play together, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's another one.
Give the ball to Giannis on top of the key.
It's another one.
You think Kyrie's going to be doing that?
Well, Giannis is the point guard at times
that's
on that team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it'll be difficult. So who's this guy, Nick Gelso of CLNS?
Yeah.
Says he hurt a player in the locker room who said he's not sure he's re-signing with the Celtics if Kyrie is back. I got one guess on that one.
There's only one guy.
One guy.
Marcus Morris.
No, it's not Marcus Morris.
He's the only unrestricted.
Scary Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier's
got nothing to do with it.
Terry Rozier's the guy.
Well, he might have nothing to do with it. It might not be his choice.
What, Terry Rozier?
Sure.
No, I think Terry Rozier is hoping that he doesn't come back, that some team will offer him a deal and the Celtics will let him go. He's the one guy, I don't think.
I understand that, but I mean, he is restricted. I only thought like one unrestricted. It's his choice. A true free agent that has no ties at the Celtics, you know, whatever, we still got you, and that's Marcus Morris. I mean, Terry Rozier, it's just like, you know, all right, offer.
We'll see what the other offers are. I think Terry Rozier is crazy and dumb. I think he's just, I don't think he's a right guy whatsoever.
Well, it would make sense for him to say it. There's no question
about it. That's what I think.
That's not a surprise.
He probably thinks for some roundabout way he's a free agent.
I'm not sure the Celtics would want Morris back at what money he's going to command in the market unless
playoff MOOC.
Unless he takes a lower value deal if Kyrie is not there, right? So who's he going to play with? What's the team going to look like? See, I think we all agree that what the first thing Danny is going to do is he's going to go out of his way to appease Kyrie. It's your team. We're going to do whatever we can. We're going to get Anthony Davis.
You're so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
You're so good looking.
Yes.
And people want to be around you. We're going to make songs.
And by the way,
Uncle Drew 2 is going to be amazing.
People love it when you change your mind every 3 weeks. Don't listen to the media.
The way we are. Just listen to Glenn.
My good friend Glenn does the same thing every day.
Don't listen to the media.
Listen a half hour of the show. He says one thing, and then 30 minutes later, says complete opposite.
He never answers the question.
So when he says he don't want you, give him like 30 minutes, and then he'll say he loves you.
Let me tell you something.
They can't live without you.
One person has been consistent about the Celtic team this year, and he's sitting over here in this chair, not in those two chairs.
What are you talking about?
You guys have been spinning back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So last week, you're like, oh, wow, you know, the Celtics get bounced from the playoffs. I would say at least they're not the Sixers.
I got to be true to myself.
Yes.
The Sixers, I would say, are in a worse position.
Poor Joel.
Based on their players. And what?
Just do it.
Have you ever seen a play like that, though?
No, miracle shot like that? No.
Unbelievable.
And by the way, what made that
it's
so
like
dramatic,
out of a movie.
You don't even have to put it in slow motion.
No.
You can run it at full speed, and it takes forever.
The picture was outstanding.
With him crouched down.
On the ground, and B's kind of leaning over, looking at the hoop, guys on their bench. It was a great photo.
Well, the other thing, too, is even when you see it again, you just don't think it's going in. When it takes bounces like that, it always bounces out.
If you watch Ben Simmons throughout the entire,
He's in the entire picture.
So he's covering Leonard, and then he kind of bails off, and B goes for the block, doesn't get it. And then he's watching the rim as the ball is bouncing. Now, still got like two more bounces, but I think he realizes that it's going in. It's just a matter of time. And he starts walking away in disgust before the ball actually goes through the rim.
Isn't that amazing? They said on TV during the broadcast, that is the first buzzer beater in game 7 in NBA history.
That is unbelievable.
Isn't that? I mean, I find that hard to believe.
Yes.
Never happened before.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. But I'll say
they've
this.
They've had it where there's more time in the clock, and the next team gets it, maybe a fraction of a second.
Yeah.
Right.
Wouldn't you rather have your star player like crying because he's that upset?
Yeah,
over
I didn't
losing?
Have a problem with crying. I didn't
as opposed to your star player saying, "I'm really looking forward to watching this team next round." I mean, that was a lot of fun watching them play.
No, yeah. yeah, you wish it, but they're...
You know what I mean? Like, you got one guy that's like, I can't wait to watch them. That's a very talented team.
No, I'll
you know,
take
respect him. That's why you got Embiid over here crying because he's just so pissed that they lost.
I'll take the Embiid emotions
now,
over
with
Kyrie.
With the girlfriend in the hallway, that's just a new NBA, I guess. I don't know.
It's a new low.
Right?
I saw an article today, actually. I pulled it up, and it was so unbelievably long that I wouldn't read it.
They think beyond 150 words it's too much for the
no
big
pictures.
Fella.
It says, you know, here's the headline. You tell me if you believe it or not. Why the NBA has surpassed the NFL as America's sport?
Stop it.
What are we talking about here?
Victim
because,
of the moment.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're talking about the buzzer beaters, the great moments, and, you know, the young talent.
Stop America.
Stop it.
What great moments.
Like, please.
It's like the only one game that's come down to the wire.
A couple of them.
That's been it.
Come on. I mean, this is what people do. The last thing that they've
seen... Oh, yeah, that Detroit series with Milwaukee was awesome.
Awesome. That was
awesome. Yeah, the way that Celtics took care of Indiana. Oh,
that last Celtics-Bucks series came down on the wire.
Wow.
Each and every one of them.
How stupid.
It's a blowout. Every single game was a blowout.
How stupid is that,
though? Written by an NBA staff writer.
The last thing somebody has seen, and then they just take that and they suddenly blow it. And I say, you know what? It's better than football. Come on, please. It's better than soccer. I'll give you that. How that? It's better than soccer. Did you watch the Premier League championship?
Yeah, you know what?
Weekend?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
That's too bad. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
You got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're filling.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
How about the bounce?
Unbelievable. And it was great defense. How the hell are you going to get that shot off? It was a teardropper headed toward the ceiling, and then it bounces four times and it falls through.
Ben Simmons completely gives up on the play. Joel Embiid comes over late to help with his just height and length. You would think, okay, he would make that even more difficult. No, it wasn't. Didn't obstruct his view whatsoever. Dropped that thing in there.
That'd be a good series. Toronto, Milwaukee, it's the way it should be.
And so Philly's gone, and now Philly's got some work to do in the offseason because they've got a bunch of free agents, and really their bench let them down. Let them down during the regular season, and let them down in the postseason.
They're similar to the Celtics as far as, you know, just expectations, what you thought they were going to do, that whole trust the process thing. I can't remember his name now.
Harris.
They got Butler, they got Harris, right?
Both free agents, though, right?
Yeah.
Both those guys.
Yeah. So you would think that they were going to, cross over to the championship and, like, be a team to, but Joel Embiid sick all the time.
A lot more respectful than what the Celtics did, though, I would say. It comes down to game 7 seconds to go.
Feel better about them than the Celtics.
No question.
And a lot of the games were close, so you give them a lot more credit, but they're not there yet.
Thing is that Embiid is one of those players, and Barkley was talking about this the other night, and Embiid is boastful, and he does all of this other stuff. Do you believe he's a really well-conditioned guy at that spot?
No, I think they comment on See, it doesn't matter. A guy like that, the problem is obviously staying on the court, right? But the regular season, okay, it is what it is. You take care of him. So when you get to the postseason, you can play.
He's sick
and,
all the time.
And he was sick the whole time. A couple
time.
Of times here, right? Early in the series, it was the knee in the first round. And then he had the stomach bug. And like you said, he got the poops.
If you had the shit before.
Yeah, but then it was something else. An upper respiratory infection later on in the series. And it was like, Jesus, dude. Like,
bad
resting
timing.
You in a regular season, giving you time off and making sure your knee's healthy, that's one thing. But when you get in the postseason, because the numbers when he was off the court were Drastic.
A minus 80.
Drastic.
Like 84. Minus 84 or something like that. Day and night, he cannot leave the floor.
No.
They're in a position, once he does, they are in serious trouble. So we all agree that Danny Ainge is going to do whatever he has to do to convince, and this is probably going to piss off some Celtic fans out there. They don't want Danny to cater to Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie is in control. He is, as David Price says, he holds all the cards right now. So Danny has got to sit there and bring him flowers and sit there and say, we need you. You got to come back. You're the leader. You're a guy on
no,
a team.
You know what I mean? I don't even say you use the word leader. Don't say that. Because you're going to be, there's five number ones, right? You're going to play through that whole thing.
Leadership, born to
you're
lead.
One of five.
Every player is a leader, Kyrie, and you're one of our leaders.
The way we look at things. And we don't like just one guy.
And you're going to sell him on the fact that we've got the best package to get Anthony Davis. I'm convinced. I've already spent some time talking to David Griffin. I'm convinced that we're going to get Anthony Davis. And so that's our team next year. That's what you're going to do. That's the only thing Danny Ainge can do. All of this other stuff, like Horford, I saw somebody came out and said, you know, Al Horford, who's got an option right now, player option, instead of opting out, he would love to stay here in Boston.
What's up, guys?
Well, of course he'd love to stay in Boston because his number is $30 million, and there isn't a single team, even though there are a lot of maximum slots out there.
What do you mean? He's a winner.
He's up there in age, Lou.
What do you mean?
What's he, 32? There's nobody.
God, see what he brings to the team?
Stop it. There's nobody.
He spreads the floor.
Stop.
How many big guys like that can dribble?
Do you understand? They know you're being sarcastic.
Doing what Horford's always done.
They know you're being sarcastic. The green teamers know this is sarcastic.
He's the best defensive big in the sport.
Okay, whatever.
Sees the floor, spreads the court, dribbles. I mean, he's the perfect
dream. Is he worth $30 million to another team?
Why wouldn't other teams want to give him 30?
They're not.
What do you mean?
So the perfect situation for him is to come back to Boston. He seems to like it here. And he does a three-year deal for like $65, $66, $70 million.
The reality is
so he's getting in the 20s, low 20s.
There's nowhere for him to go.
Nowhere for him to go.
Because the teams that have the cap space, they're not going to bring in Al Horford.
Right.
I know what he is. He's a winning player. But he's not going to go on a team that's rebuilding. He's going to, and so the good teams don't have the cap space to bring in Al Horford.
How can you hate on him?
So he's staying right where he is, and he's going to get paid more here than he would on going to another good team.
Correct. So you can convince Kyrie, we're trying to win right now. Look at Golden State. That might be a disaster. The doors are open for us. What do you want to go elsewhere? This is the perfect place for you. That's what they're going to do.
But I don't like Brad.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that.
Dilemma because for green teamers.
We all know that Danny loves Brad and Wick Grosbeck loves Brad, but this is from A. Sherrod Blakely just moments ago. A big-time NCAA job opens, which means one thing around Boston. And as you read the article, he's talking about John Boeheim, the coach at Michigan, who's left to take the Cavaliers
job. Long-time college guy. Going to go because he's a great offensive mind.
Why?
In the NBA.
I don't understand this at all.
That'll work.
He has spent his entire life. How old is he? Mid-60s?
Yeah.
And he's going to suddenly take over a rebuilding program
Cleveland? You better hope that Cleveland team is like a post-grad. You know what I mean?
It's gonna be like the Celtics when Brad Stevens
A bunch of guys, third year in. That'd be a good team for him.
So A. Sherrod Blakely says Brad Stevens' name will be tossed around
at Michigan
as a potential target of Michigan's search, even though there's no indication he would consider such a job or that Danny Ainge would allow him out of his multi-year contract to pursue such a position.
Interesting. Here's the thing. So then we'll start talking about Brad Stevens leaving, and then Sherrod will go on TV ripping us for talking about Brad Stevens leaving, yet he's the one that wrote the article. Okay, now let's talk about
it.
I think he should go. Get rid of him. Go to Michigan.
But Sherrod's not taking an opinion one way or the other.
No.
What he's basically doing.
There. Say, you guys talk about it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Talk about it on the radio.
There's an opening here. But I bring it back to his point. And he just said, what if Kyrie says to Danny, you know, Brad and I, not in the same pitch. He's stuck on that dumbass system. And that system just doesn't work all the time. You can incorporate it sometimes.
Hey, Danny, Ty Lue's available. But, I mean, it is. So, I mean, that is your dilemma. Do you want Kyrie and Anthony Davis or do you want Brad Stevens, if it came down to it? I think it's a no-brainer.
I think
it's
I want the players. I want the
players. I'd rather have those two guys and Ty Lue sitting here.
I want the players.
Yeah, but I would say that if you're Kyrie and it's going back and forth, if you have an issue with Brad, Brad doesn't seem like the real confrontational type. You know, he doesn't seem like a guy that would ever get in your face and really challenge you. I think he tries to reason with you. And I don't know if that's the right approach with, I mean, with Kyrie. It's just, I mean, there's not going to be, he's not going to allow any static to get in his way. So there will never real be any pushback from Brad Stevens. Like, oh, I can't coach this guy. Ah, he's unruly. Ah, he doesn't listen. I don't think that's ever going to be some crazy fight that we're ever going to hear about.
But Kyrie on the court,
I think he's just passive.
But he can just ignore what the coach is telling him. Even if he's calling a play, you can just ignore it and do whatever you want. I mean, players have done that over the years. They just ignore the guy. Well, what's the coach going to do?
Call a timeout and then wag his finger at him?
You're benched.
You stupid.
Who screams? Who does that anymore? They don't do that anymore. The players control it.
I think Danny would be put in a spot that he hasn't been in about 5 years. To where he would say, he would create a roster and a team that even his green teamers would not like.
Right.
You know, if you played out the scenario of Kyrie re-signs here to max deal, you trade Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Rozier's gone and you bring in Anthony Davis and you move on from Brad Stevens, how do you think his support fan base would feel?
If I had voted now, the poll,
if
I
they
voted
win, they right, you get the love back, but that ride, it better be a smooth one. It better be a smooth one because this is a fan base that would sit there right now, wouldn't like any of those moves that I just talked about. Trading the kids, moving on from Brad, bringing Kyrie back.
Wait a minute. I don't think they're going to like it if Kyrie and Anthony Davis come back, Lou. They're going to, and you don't have Tatum and you don't have Brown? You want to hear what the fan base is going to be calling us up with? Wait till those calls.
Give me a doomsday scenario.
A doomsday scenario.
For the Celtics right
I'll
now,
give you a doomsday
right now,
scenario.
I think they're kind of, you know, just hanging on by a thread.
A doomsday.
Yeah, there's the horn.
A doomsday scenario is that you let Kyrie go. You bring in Anthony Davis anyway because you think you can appease him. A year from now, he goes. The year after that, Jaylen Brown says, I'm going. And the year after that, Tatum is
on. So you're looking too far ahead. I'm looking just for this year. Doomsday scenario, Brad Stevens leaves. You think Kyrie has an issue with Brad Stevens, but he doesn't. He actually likes Brad. Now that he's gone, it's easy for him to go someplace else.
Well, he would only go
now you're left without Brad and Kyrie.
He would only go if Kyrie wants him gone. That's the only thing.
I would just say that. Wasn't the Indiana job open there for a while? Everyone thought that was going to be his dream
job.
How about
this
one? He had so many opportunities to go back to college.
He was loving this at that time.
UCLA job came up. There's tons of opportunities for him.
How about this one? You trade Tatum and Brown to get Davis. You get Kyrie to agree, but part of the agreement of Kyrie's five-year deal, he has an opt-out at the end of the first year, which coincides with Anthony Davis's contract.
Oh, my God.
How about that one?
Oh, wow. Oh, so you must have heard something.
I've heard nothing.
You got people?
Nothing.
You have sources?
I have sources,
You have friends
nothing.
Close to Danny Ainge's family?
Nope.
So it's like the guy that cuts his lawn?
Nope. I'm just throwing that one out. You asked for doomsday scenarios, and then they come back, and there's infighting for a year because Kyrie just is
the bottom line is, I think Danny realized that sometimes you got to take a risk in this league, right? And if that risk is Anthony Davis for 1 year, so be it. You think Toronto's sitting there, I can't believe they took a chance on Kawhi Leonard for 1 year? You think that fan base, see what they were doing after that game? Oh, my God, I can't believe Kawhi could walk after a year. Think they care right now?
Talk about NBA divas, though.
They're coming back.
Talk about NBA divas. There were teams last year that were sitting there going, what a pain in the ass Kawhi is, right? And look at this. You're right. Toronto ends up taking him for a year. Is anybody calling him a pain in the ass anymore?
No,
they're calling him one of the best players in the league right now, right?
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah.
And it gives Toronto a chance now to win the next series and maybe the series after that because they've got a great player right now. Mm-hmm. All right, we get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. And has anybody been paying attention? I know one person in the studio has. With the Red Sox, they are back in the mix again. We'll get to that coming up here as well.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
One is that Anthony Davis has not changed his position on New Orleans. Two, David Griffin and the Pelicans franchise would like to be able to offer Anthony Davis the $230 million extension formally and have him formally turn that down. And number three, and I think this is important, no matter how the Pelicans feel about the Lakers, the reason that they can take the position that they don't want to do business with them is that the Lakers don't have anything that they want. While the door is closed, I wouldn't say the door is deadbolted there, but the door is closed.
He's not going to LA. And if you're David Griffin, you've just taken over the job. You have to sit there and say, you know, it didn't work out with the last guy. Let me try. Let me just try. Let me sit the guy down. See if I can bring him aboard. And when it doesn't work, you can sit there and say, I tried, but now we got to deal him away. I think there's no question Boston can put together the best package. It could be improved depending on where the ping pong balls fall tomorrow night. Tomorrow is the draft lottery, and it could help him, consider.
Who are we sending for Luck? Who are they sending for Luck? Wouldn't it be great if Kyrie actually showed up?
Send Scal.
They're not sending.
Honestly,
they're not sending.
Send
guy
Terry Rozier.
Terry Rozier be perfect.
Did you see that tweet? I don't know. Someone sent it to me. I don't know. It was somebody out in New Orleans talking about what the deal would have to be.
It's a fan or somebody doing that, though. Right?
I forget what the family. Somebody's close to the family.
Somebody's close to the
yeah,
family
somebody,
member.
Yeah.
Anyways, whatever.
Member,
this little thing that someone tweeted out was
quote
Tatum, Jaylen, Smart, and the draft picks.
I don't know why New Orleans would
Sacramento,
want
Sacramento, Memphis.
Why would they want Smart? First of all, it doesn't fit what they're apparently attempting to
he
do.
He fits in any situation.
Start all over. I don't think he does.
He's
I think
a
he
winning
does.
Player.
I think,
yeah, he does.
Yeah, but I think
he fits in any situation.
See, I think
as long
he,
as he's not shooting.
No, he doesn't fit in every situation.
Don't shoot.
The problem is on a team like that, you need him to shoot. So he is perfect for a championship contending team because of the way he can defend and shut people down. Right, and he's so physical. So in the playoffs,
yeah.
He's a big time player for you with a team like that. If I'm David Griffin, and he's a pretty sharp guy, I don't want Smart.
Yeah,
I want those draft picks.
You need a salary.
Yeah,
but couldn't you do a sign and trade with Rozier and send him out there?
Yes, I think it would be more likely he would try to get Rozier, looking at him as a backup point or even a two guard. With a chance to be yeah. better down the road,
yeah.
you know. Jerry's in North Andover. Hey, Jerry.
Glenn, how are you?
Good, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, geez.
So you keep saying that we have to keep Kyrie because the alternative is so awful. Well, the alternative is losing, I suppose. But what was the result with Kyrie? Losing. And Kyrie is really a cancerous personality. So if we're going to lose anyway, why do we want him around?
Well, it's a strong word, and I don't like using the word, but pushing it aside, I get what you're saying, except that I think that's what you get in the NBA. If you want to have a good team, you want to have a championship-contending team, Lou brought it up. Toronto took on Kawhi Leonard. There were a lot of teams that were afraid to take Kawhi Leonard, an extremely talented guy, at his best, top three in the NBA, but a little bit crazy, a little bit unpredictable, okay, and sat out an entire season last year when a lot of members of that team is only teammates thought that he was healthy enough to play. Now, what do they think about him? Wait a minute. What do they think about him in Toronto now?
Does he insult the fans all the time?
Who? Yeah, by not playing and not showing up? Yes.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, in San Antonio? He did.
No, you're a San Antonio fan. How'd you feel last year? But he was just sitting out when apparently he's healthy.
Exactly. So let him let Kyrie go somewhere else and reform. He's not going to do it here.
Hey, Jerry, you got the wrong league. You're talking about the NHL. If a guy did this in the NHL, you'd say, screw it, we don't need him. I'll find somebody
NFL.
Else that'll bust his ass. NFL, same thing. This is different. This is the NBA. This is a league in which the commissioner has set it up now with a collective bargaining agreement that allowed the players to go and put their own teams together. This is the NBA. So if you allow them to do that, this is what you get. This is the attitude
well,
you get.
Well, I'm sorry. I just, we just don't need, we don't need a as I say, a cancerous personality.
So what do you
think? Hold on. First of all, you do. You do need him. And just start that. And I don't think cancerous is...
That's a bad
I
word.
Don't think he's cancerous at all.
He ruined the team.
No, he didn't ruin the team.
He
he's not...
The
if
team.
We're going to do the whole blame pie thing, he's not the only person. Like,
no,
he's got
it. Known
he's,
who he was.
Okay, hold on. See, you're going strict. So if a guy... Did he sit there and try to sabotage and lose games on purpose? It looked like he tried too hard. Especially during the regular season, he tried too hard to be the right guy, say all the right things, to be someone who he wasn't. Just be the weird guy that you are.
I would agree that this fit doesn't work for Kyrie with this roster. But if you get Anthony Davis,
this roster will be completely different.
So how do you think the...
And I think that might work because you got another alpha dog with them.
All right, so how do you think the Green Teamers... Because right now the Green Teamers do not want Kyrie and Anthony Davis next year.
No.
Is that fair?
They don't want Kyrie, they don't like him, but, and they don't want to give up the kids.
Right. Okay, so if you give up the kids and you bring in Davis with 1 year on his contract, and take the worst case scenario that I already gave you, that Kyrie comes back and says to Danny, I'll try it out for a year. And I'll get an opt-out at the end of the first year. And by the way, if he does that, and that's the only way Danny can get him back, you ready for this? You want me to go out on a limb? I sign him and give him the 1 year out with Anthony Davis. You know why?
You could both leave.
It gives me flexibility. At the end of the year, next year, it gives me flexibility at the trading deadline. If something happens, I can deal now. I've got maximum contract player that somebody else wants. I can do a sign and trade. I can play some games there. But if you are... one of these Green Teamers, like this last guy, I get it. They can't stand the guy personally. They don't know him. They think they do. They don't like his attitude. But what do you think it's going to be like with him and Anthony Davis? You saw Anthony Davis on that LeBron James show, The Shop. What was your feeling when you heard him talk?
That he needs somebody else to talk for him.
Same attitude as Kyrie.
That's the worst case scenario with both these guys pending free agency. Because then Kyrie won't be able to avoid all the other talk if he has a one year and possibly can get out. You'll be talking about it, both of these guys who don't seem like they enjoy people talking about their futures, right? And you'll have both of them playing next year, and that'll be the talk all year long. That could be the worst-case scenario, although it could work as far as talent goes in the court.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that without Kyrie next year, with no Anthony Davis, you bring back everybody you've got right now, and at 20 or 22... and at 14, you're not really going to get a guy that's going to light it up initially, maybe 2-3 years
from now. You should have a hard-fought first round against Indiana. That'll go 7. Could go either way.
And suppose you don't do quite that well.
Well, just say.
But suppose you're in the middle of you don't have an opportunity to get a Zion Williamson, the future Zion Williamson. You're just caught in the middle for the next few years. You've said it before. It's the worst place to be in the NBA. You don't want to be caught in the middle, and that's where they are. They're too good to actually get into the lottery and get a player that might be able to help them down the road, and yet they're not good enough where they can really compete for a championship. They're really like playoff frauds. They're in one round and out. Is that really? People want that?
No. No, who would want that?
I think they do.
Miami, they want that. Charlotte, they want that.
And then we'll bring Isaiah back. Right? See if he can straddle that hip up and down the floor.
Jay Crowder
get excited.
Might be up.
Yeah. It's funny, you're seeing clips of Kawhi Leonard and, you know, going to his first year in Toronto, and that's about as good as you could plan it out, right? You kind of like, you know, you hold your nose up in the air, you don't play when you're in San Antonio, you work your way out of that situation, and you end up being the reason why Toronto gets to the championship, gets to the Eastern Conference Championship. So it can be done the right way. It needs a little bit more, you know, molding, in my opinion. But the template is set here in Boston.
But Toronto took on the troubled kid. Actually, traded away was not nearly as good a basketball player.
No, remember, they're crying.
But he wasn't a problem.
No, he wasn't. But I would say the difference between the two, Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, that was strictly business decision.
Yep, he wanted out.
That was strictly business decision. You're looking at it from a fan's perspective, and you're like, this guy's giving up on the team. This guy's a quitter. But no, his body is his livelihood. That's how he makes money. He knew that he wasn't going to stay there, and it was a bad business environment for him, so he got his ass out of there. It'd be no different than some guy leaving Google or FedEx or any other big corporation because he didn't like his working conditions.
Remember we were talking about this last week, the whole Kevin Durant thing. What if the Golden State Warriors go on to win the NBA championship this year without Kevin Durant, and he gets up and he leaves and he goes to New York?
So...
What? What's going to be bad on Kevin Durant? Make him look like they didn't need him in the first place?
No, because I think the alternative, if they lose and he can't play in the series or he's not healthy to play anywhere close to his game, he looks great. He looks brilliant to the rest of the world. They couldn't win without me, and then I'm going to get my ass out of there and leave.
Grow up.
But suppose the opposite happens, and they actually win this thing without him.
You think he cares? I'm just saying, you think a team, oh, say the Knicks are interested. Oh, no, we won't take Kevin Durant because Golden State won without him. Nothing changes.
Trust me, the Knicks are desperate right now.
And I would say, it's if you look at that Warriors team, they're going to end up keeping all their core players, all their stars. And I would say part of them was probably sitting there going, you know, we won without Kevin Durant. We won with Kevin Durant. Obviously, it would be easier with them, but let's prove to everybody that we don't need him. Because Steph is obviously going to be a max player.
Klay Thompson.
Both those guys are going to be max players.
Right.
Their owner's already come out and said, listen, I don't care what we have to do. We're signing both those guys.
Yeah, they know Durant's going anywhere. They know he's gone.
So Durant's probably gone. It would be great, you know, because they drafted those guys, developed them. I mean, they've won with them. They know that Kevin Durant is important, but he's not ultimately the reason why they're going to keep winning.
See, Christian, that's why I think the Kyrie to New York thing is real. And though I know Danny's going to attempt to try to assign him, it is a real option for him right now, because everybody's talking about Durant, including the owners of the Golden State Warriors. They're already talking about it. They know
what's really crazy. So it's on the weekend, they had this it must have been a 30 for 30 or Mother's Day special on Harden, and talked about how he grew up in LA, and you know, how he was just a big fat kid and slow, but he had a great shot. And you sit there and you look at who they had on their team, their big three. If those guys from Westbrook to Durant and Harden, if they were able to just get along and figure it out, could you imagine what that team would have looked like?
Yeah.
If they were just able Harden didn't want to be a sixth man anymore, but he thinks he was going to be, but that wasn't going to be the case in my book.
Yeah, but a big part of that was the management out there at Oklahoma City, is they screwed that up because they elected to sign Serge Ibaka instead, and they messed that up. So that was more, I think, the front office than it necessarily was the players. But the Harden image took another blow this weekend, because you got to win that game, right? You're at home. It is game six. They don't have Kevin Durant. You got to win that game.
It's so funny. They're going to be – they're like the
great player can't win.
They're like the Jazz or the Knicks or all those teams that were really good but had the unfortunate luck of being good at the same time,
that was
like
before
a Golden State or the Lakers.
But that was before what Golden State did, and you had like Curry and Durant and Clay. It was sort of like you can't keep all three of these guys. I'm just saying, with Harden, Durant, Westbrook, you only have so many balls, right? I mean, so what do we got to do? We got to move on for somebody, get a big. We got a point guard, a wing, and a big. You know, so that was just like the feeling. I feel like in today's NBA, they'd be like, no, we're not letting these three go.
Yeah, but then
I don't think they would have moved on.
Then they went on to overpay Steven Adams and make him like a max contract guy. It was crazy. The Red Sox lit it up this weekend. They swept an opponent. And by the way, it was the opponent that was really good at the beginning of the season that it got off to a jackrabbit start, and they have fallen on bad times, as a lot of these teams are. So how impressed should we be? Are you ready for this?
So
it wasn't that long ago we're sitting here and people saying, are they going to make the playoffs? There are only 6 of the 15 teams in the American League over 500 right now. Your Boston Red Sox are one of them, and they're actually in a dead heat tie for that second wild card spot. That's where they are after the miserable, awful, terrible start. There are bad teams in the American League.
11-2 in their last 13.
Yes.
8-1 last night. I mean, keep going. 16-6.
But their division is
strong.
It's
what they needed to.
Their division is, you can say about
You're going to have three teams in the playoffs in their division.
The Yankees, and, you know, I mean, just that alone is enough, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they're feasting on all these.
I mean, if you're going to say they're feasting on a bunch of crap teams, I think your division would be the most important. You know, getting through your division with the best record would be ultimately the most important thing.
Well, you're going to get a better test in the next couple of weeks, because you get Houston twice here and there, right? You get Cleveland, so you're going to get a better test on this. But let's face it, they're loaded with talent. They're going without two of their starters right now, and they're mowing teams down. They're starting to hit that lineup. Devers is obviously now lit it up.
You got Chavis.
I heard people say, well, yeah, they've been just beating up on the bad teams. Well, okay, the same bad teams they lost to the beginning of the year.
They're very sensitive about this.
No. It's a stupid argument, is what it is. Because last year they said the same thing, that these games don't matter. Well, they do matter. Because when you are, 30-12 and you play Houston and you split with Houston, you move on, then you sweep Chicago. So that's where you make up your ground. You know, so, they've beaten up on some teams they should have. They should have taken care of business against Chicago and Baltimore and the Seattle team. But earlier in the year, they couldn't take care of business against Seattle or Oakland or Arizona.
Yeah, they weren't ready.
Or Baltimore. I mean, Detroit. I mean, so it's... that whole argument is just dumb to me. It always has been.
No, the argument I'm making, Lou,
they're playing better baseball.
The argument I'm making is that Major League Baseball has changed right now, and that you've got so many teams that are basically throwing the towel in because all they want to do is rebuild. So they already know they're going to suck.
Yeah,
right?
They're in a rebuilding, reloading process.
And we always had bad teams in the league. Don't get me wrong, but now you've got a lot more of them that figure the best way of getting up to the top right now is to really suck, right? To get the draft picks and really play that game, unless you have lots of money to spend on free agents. That's amazing that only 6 of the 15 teams are over 500. And based on where the Red Sox are, they are now one of those 6 teams, which, you know, shows you what a great
run
they've been on.
They're the 6 teams everybody thought coming in.
Yes.
I mean, really. I mean, there's 3 teams in the East. There's 2 teams in the Central, in Cleveland, Minnesota, and there's Houston. And we wondered if Oakland would do it again.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So now you're back to, okay, these are the 6 teams, and you wonder if Oakland can win a few. That's it. But now, it's your point. Now you're sitting there saying with 3 back from Tampa, now you're fighting for that to win the division.
Big difference.
You know, wild card against Glasnow, wild card against Snell.
Yeah. Too much of a risk in one of these play-in games. Right. You get a starting pitcher that shuts you down in one game, and all the work you did in 162 has just gone to waste. You got to win that division. You got to play multiple game series. You do not want to play a one-game series. But it was the reason that people were sitting there going, why aren't you panicking? Why aren't people pissed off? Well, because there's so many bad teams in the league, and you're loaded with talent. Granted, you're not playing well, but eventually, you got to play a lot better. With that starting rotation, with that lineup, I still question the bullpen. I think a lot of people do right now, and I don't know how good that bullpen's going to be. But you got enough to be one of those 5 teams.
Yeah, now it's the I Told You So tour. I don't know what type of song chorus playing right now.
I would say that a lot of the they've righted the ship and they're back. They're back. They're a good team again. But just like last year, don't you still have to sit there and wait in September and October to tell me like I told you so?
I know,
but they should be a playoff team.
But you do a sale, I think.
But I mean, just we're gonna take it easy on these guys in spring training, right? Because they went through a lot in October. Okay, so Sale lately his last 4 he's been outstanding. Porcello's last 5 he's been great. Did it work for Price and Eovaldi? I mean, they're on the DL. Eovaldi had to have surgery. You know, Price,
from what I understand,
they expect him to pitch in Houston next weekend. So maybe it was just the break, you know, in May that maybe they wanted. Hopefully, whatever. Hopefully, everything's okay. But, you know, you still got to wait and see if, you know, the plan has worked. We just like last year. You don't really know. It worked last year.
Well, I think the biggest part of the plan.
I don't think they planned on going 6-13 out of the gate.
Yeah, I still think the biggest part of the plan.
2-8
is Chris Sale. So last year he got off to a pretty good start, and he was winning all those games, or you were winning games in which he pitched, and you got off to a 17-2 start. In his first 6 starts, you lost all 6 of those games, and you know how bad a start you got off to. So now he seems to be back, as you just said, in the last 4 games. Which is nice, but what's he going to be like in September and October?
Well, that's the point. The point is we don't know about Sale.
Because you can't win. I don't think you can win without him. And I know you went through the playoffs with him, you know, not knowing whether he was even going to be able to go out there and pitch. Does anybody think you're going to be able to duplicate that all over again? That may be difficult.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I want to do when we come back. Because here's another example why baseball is becoming the worst sport in the history of the world.
No, why are you pissing
another
the world?
Example.
The whole world?
I tell you, the whole
world.
I would say the universe.
More than soccer.
All the aliens out there.
More than soccer?
All the aliens. It's just becoming, comical now.
Really?
People are going out of their way to show examples of why baseball is so slow, and we have another one.
And usually you're the only one that does that.
No.
All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.